It's episode 1102, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang. You may be wondering, where was episode 1101? Well, the answer is, dear listener, in the 11th hour, there was a major technical issue, and that episode is pretty much lost to the hard drives up in heaven. So, sadly, we missed Tuesday's show, but here we're back with 1102. And we'll make up for it. It'll be especially good. All right. Like I said, I'm Cameron. And joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Derek is out this week. So accepting the moniker of artist, producer, mogul is our newest cast member from LA, right. Marty.
Marty, what's going on? I don't know why I said my name again. All right, let's go. Marty, you're doing a great job.
Marty, in the house.
In the house.
Marty, I think you should reply to yourself in the third person.
You know? Just
to see Marty in the house?
To be one of those.
Always like guys. a villain off of like James Bond. Like Goldfinger says no, you know, like one of those.
Yeah. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. No one would look at you weird.
Maybe it could work. I do sometimes. I do. I actually have like an old, like I refer to myself as old man Marty whenever, like I just don't want to go out anywhere. I'm like, old man Marty's out, you know, and then from my wife, I'm like, Hurricane Jocelyn's out. So everybody has like a nickname in my family. Like,
how did she get?
It's a category.
Why did you get Hurricane?
Why are you old man? Because like old man Ebro is a famous, you know, hip hop, you know, VJ or DJ.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm eventually going to become old man Marty, like rap wise, because I never enjoyed being in my 20s. I just thought 20s they were okay. But now that I'm in my 30s, I'm 35, like 30s are so awesome. And like my body is normal. I don't have my hormones going crazy. I have adult money. I have, you know, like things change in your 30s, the best years of your life in your 30s. When you're 20s, you don't know what is going on. So I prefer being in my 30s. I don't want to be 25 again. I just can't do it.
I also think like when a personality transcends a certain level, they can get away with calling themselves, you know, just like calling themselves by the third person. Like you see like an athlete, you know, like Floyd Mayweather calls himself like, you know, Floyd. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Floyd Mayweather isn't taking the fight because Floyd Mayweather doesn't like that kind of fight. I feel like if you just own it, people will accept it, you know, and they will put you in that elite category.
Well, Marty's clearly in the elite category.
I'm not that cool, but I will be using old man Marty. I'm just saying it now. I feel like in case somebody uses it, so we could just have this record. I could sue them later. Really, I just need to get that.
You've established it.
Like it's just, it's like mailing something early because when you mail it, it becomes copywritten. So you just, you know,
speaking of elite level celebrity, there was recently the VMAs were on and
2 days ago.
I want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't realize the VMAs were still a thing. Like, because every time I've like, you know, happened to like go by, is that all MTV does? Is just produce this and ridiculousness?
It's funny because like, I think for so like the last few years, truly no one's cared about the VMAs to the point where the fact that it was on a Tuesday night kind of seems like MTV was like, I guess we got to keep this going. But it was actually pretty good. Like, it was, like, shocking how...
It was pretty good.
It was
good.
Like, I'm actually keeping up with this. This is fun.
It was pretty good.
So, I don't know what
like
they
Taylor
did.
Swift showed up, right? Like, Taylor, she didn't have to. When she shows up and made it a big deal, like, everyone was kind of excited. Like, okay, Ice Spice is here. Like, who cares? But when she showed up, she makes it legitimate. So I will say that when I saw Taylor Swift, I was like, this makes the show legitimate. She's physically here.
Well, it's funny, too, because it's like... No offense to the VMAs, but like, you want a VMA, cool. Like, it's just not like a bragging. Yeah. It's nothing you brag about. So it is funny that Taylor showed up.
Lil Wayne did like an old song when he performed, right? Like Lil Wayne did old songs from 5 years ago.
Nicki did Itty Bitty Piggy. Like, I was excited. Like,
yeah,
but that maybe this is just a cultural blind spot, but I grew up on MTV, mm-hmm. like when the VMAs, because like to your point, Emily, like winning the award was never that big a deal. It was just a big party, right? Just like the Video Music Awards, right?
And there was always those shocking moments where somebody would kiss somebody or somebody, you know, whatever.
It was just that it was basically like a raunchy version of like the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was essentially what it was. You might as well be sliming
really
people
oddly
up
correct.
There.
It's kind of fun. Okay, I have a very hot take. It's like so hot off the press that it's probably going to get us in trouble if I say this out loud. Can I say this? Can I say this, Cam?
Say it. Yeah,
I think Doja Cat is awesome. I love her. I know that every Christian rapper, every Christian artist, like she's so demonic. Dude, that first off, the beat for Demons is very fire. I think she's the best female rapper, and I think from an artist level, she's incredible. I think she's actually, from an artist perspective. Now, the content is sketchy, you know, it's all demons and weird, it's take that part out, but dude, she performed at the VMAs and she killed it. Even though she looked crazy, she killed it. The people behind her look like Carrie, they're all covered in blood, you know, and Carrie does that little thing and mm-hmm. the thing falls on her head. So but I thought she killed it. I thought all the performers were good. I thought Lil Wayne was out of place, like why is he performing a song from 2018, but whatever. I thought it was a good show. I halfway through it though, I did fall asleep. I'm not gonna lie.
It was very long, like way too long.
It was very long.
They really should have.
And you know Nikki's gonna win. You know Nikki's gonna win, and you know because she's hosting it. Yeah. She's gonna win best rap. You know it's gonna happen.
I literally followed along on social media, but have no ability. I realized I have no ability to watch it. I don't have cable, so it's like it went on any of the streaming.
I have cable, you know? And I still had to wait. Like until like 3 hours later to watch it, which was even weirder. Like, because I'm on the West Coast, they made me wait for like the West Coast time for it, even though all the clips were out mm-hmm. and it was on TV already. It's kind of weird.
That's funny.
I still have questions though. How many people work at MTV and do they just play on this all year?
I think that's all they
and
do.
Like plan
this
like
is all they do.
They're like, doing the Jersey Shore family MTV vacation reunion that's been going on for a couple seasons where they like brought back
ridiculousness.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they're just doing the old
shows. That's all they have.
Yeah.
That in Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, so literally the seven people who work at MTV right now organize the challenge, which is like a 6 week run.
I think that moved over to VH1, actually. I think the challenge.
I think I've seen it in prime time.
It's on
like
Hulu
CBS.
Now. Like everything got moved to like other stations, but they still own it.
But I mean, like the 7-8 people that work there, do they just like, you know,
people.
Do they just schedule like the order of reruns of like ridiculousness?
Yeah.
And then, you know, plan the VMAs once a year.
Once a year.
I don't know if they do the Video Music Awards, but I do feel like, listen, even if they moved into like the streaming era, back in the day when they had like TRL, which was a live music countdown of basically like the top 10 songs in the country, and you could, you know, I can't remember the construct if you could vote or
if the voting really mattered. Carson Daly.
But they would have like pop stars and celebrities just pop in and create drama. There was often drama and they would kind of... That show was made for the social media era.
Yeah, it was.
Like, there's no reason... Like, if there was a TRL
was
that streamed every afternoon... That's what I'm saying. Like, if there was a version of that show that streamed live from Times Square every afternoon at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, right, where you had just pop stars and celebrities coming in to promote whatever and, you know, kind of dust up a little drama here and there and then play some music videos and just streamed it on Twitter or X or whatever platform, I'm telling you, people would watch and people would comment and vote right there. It was made for this era. Like it was before its time. MTV's really missing
out
on something.
Jesse,
here.
You're a prophet.
MTV had TRL, and at the same time, BET had 106 and Park. And 106 and Park is coming back. They announced that they're bringing it back. So it's like bring back TRL.
They always find somebody
but
to host
basically
it
doing
that's in and out of culture. Like, just like they got in trouble, like a sex problem over there, but then they came back later on and they're like, oh, let's resurrect their career with this. Like, they were doing bad stuff and got sued, but now they're over here. Like, that's the people they choose. You know, like Dancing with the Stars level of, you know, celebrity is who's going to host
it. Looking to like
probably
revitalize their career. I'll be honest, before you said all of that, my thought was like, what's Nick Cannon doing? Just, he seems like, he seems like the...
He could do it.
I think he's got his hands full.
He's the black Ryan Seacrest. He does just as much. 40 jobs. Like, they both own all of media. Like, they're both...
Does Ryan Seacrest have an army of children?
That's the only thing. He doesn't have 12 kids named Nick as well. So that's the issue.
Like, actually, you know, one of Nick Cannon's kids' name is Powerful Queen, and I love that. I think it's so fun.
It's named after his wife's IG handle. So that's just probably crazy.
You imagine being at the DMV and they call your name
Powerful Queen Cannon.
Powerful anyway. Queen.
I love it. Man. I love it. I think it's great.
All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talked to Corey Asbury. He releases a brand new album today. So, of course, he kicks it off here on the show. We have your feedback at the end of the show as well. But stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz.
Top down, cruising I 24. Got the ball working with a fresh 24 hours. Got it out the mud, had to let it grow. Was hung on a couple grudges, had to let it go. Because if they knew I was going to stay down, if they want some square, would stay around. I just have it picked up my bag. Way too blessed to be stressed, yeah. This I feel in your rest. You want more to say less. I'm in my bag, you want paper or plastic. These are
you're listening to Derek Minor, International Show, Osmond Benjamin and DJ Malski. This the song is Vibrations. I figure I'd play Derek in a break since he's not on the show today, you know. It'd be weird to play it if he was here.
He's not gone. He's just he's just not here. Scheduling conflict.
Yeah, I know. It's not a gone situation. We're not
I'm literally at the dentist as we speak right now. Like, that's happening.
He was just texting me 10 minutes ago about some other stuff, and I was like, why are you texting me if you can't just jump on a mic and get on the podcast?
He's actually at the TRL reboot. That's where he's at right now.
Yeah. He's actually with Carson Daly as we speak, and they are figuring that out.
Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
All right, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
Tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
Well, you know, summer's coming to an end, but the writers and actors strike is not. So we thought it would be a good time to maybe do a little bit of an update on what's going on in Hollywood. The writers strike, which began in May, and the actors strike, which began in July, are still going with just no end in sight. Like, from the union, they are saying that they're not budging. The SAG president, Fran Drescher, she said that they are financially prepared. They've financially prepared themselves for the next 6 months, at least, and they are in it to win it. And so if you thought your favorite show or movie was coming in the fall, push that dream to the next spring, at least, because it is not coming for a long time. Like, a lot of productions have shut down or delayed, like Stranger Things, Yellowstone, the next Mission Impossible installment. Like, all this stuff is being pushed back.
Oh, no, not the next Mission Impossible.
I know. Well, should we?
Dead Reckoning Part 2?
No! Do we need to take a moment of silence to kind of grieve?
But like, no network shows are going to be... Yeah. Normally, right now, mid-September would be when stuff starts, now through mid-October, and there's nothing, huh?
I'm personally upset because I really like Abbott Elementary, and I was looking for another fun season.
Yeah, it's really the one that got hit.
Yeah.
That's the first one that got hit. I actually went to the studio when, like, the first day of the writer's strike, and they, you know, it's weird. It's weird to see, like, nobody on this, because in LA, you could do the studio tours, so it's weird to see nobody, like, anywhere. Nobody's working. It's just, like, the people showing us the... Like the city.
And so they're still doing studio Abbott's, tours?
Yeah, they are. Abbott's actually filmed there. Yeah. And so you could see the whole school, the whole thing. And so we went there and there's like just nobody there. There's two other shows too. One's another high school show. And then one's about this guy who like sells socks. Like, that's another show that is filmed on the studio. It's like Something Loves Somebody. It's one of those shows that nobody knows about, but it's like, winning awards and stuff.
CBS.
Yeah.
The only studio tour I've ever done was at Nickelodeon Studios when it was in Orlando.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
and they filmed Clarissa Explains It All, and we got to walk as they were like shooting an episode. We would go walk through, look at it. I thought it was super cool.
Ferguson. Yeah. Now, I'm not like optimistic, to be honest, that even after 6 months, either of these strikes are going to be coming to any sort of resolution, because it seems like a lot of what it's at play here is honestly beyond. And listen, I'm no expert, but I've been trying to follow this reasonably closely.
Yeah.
But it's like the whole business model of the industry has changed so dramatically that there just aren't, you know, the same sort of like residuals that used to exist. Yeah. You know, like they're like syndication isn't really a thing anymore. Like no one kind of, you know, the value that a series can bring to a streaming provider, which is the most, which is the way most people consume media these days, that value can't just be calculated in how many people watched it. You know what I mean? There's other ways to calculate the value that certain properties bring to streaming outlets that's beyond just volume of viewership. Like if you watch, if you look at like the top 10 in Netflix, assuming that that algorithm is truthful, right? Because they own the data. They can put whatever they want in that top 10. You know, most of it is like, you know, random wildlife documentary or action movie that no one cared about when it was released in 2017 with Liam Neeson, but now it's new on Netflix.
I just saw it nonstop. What the heck are you talking about?
but the deal is, you know, the shows that bring prestige and actually bring subscribers aren't necessarily the ones that bring the most viewers. And so how do you even calculate value that's supposed to kind of trickle down? You know, not to mention the whole AI thing. There just seems like so the industry itself has changed very rapidly, and it seems like, you know, executives and these, you know, two guilds are having trouble figuring out how it even works anymore.
Well, their contracts coming up this year is unfortunate for the actors and the writers, because this year, if you remember 6 months ago, what was happening on Max and whatever, they were taking all these shows off and why? It's because like Disney lost $1 billion on their streaming platforms in the last year, $1 billion. They lost it. And, you know, Max was bleeding money. That's why they merged with Discovery, and they're trying to save costs and they're trying to cut content, all this kind of stuff. So it's like now the writers and actors' contract is up and they're going, well, my show's getting sold to these other platforms. I should make money when it's sold or played. And the streamers are going, we lost $1 billion this year. There's no profit to divvy up. Yeah. There's no profit to give you. So it's like the studios are literally at an impasse going, we don't have any more money. We're losing money. We got to cut costs, not raise them. And y'all are saying validly that I should be paid for my work in perpetuity. So it's like they're at an impasse. I agree with you, Jesse, that there's no, because there's no pot of gold to divide up. Well, everybody's losing money. Everybody. Well,
so. And not only that, like, you know, the model used to be you do a show and if it does well, you get money on the back end. But streamers just pay everybody up front and say, listen, here's what you want. Here's what we're going to pay you, whether it does poorly or whether it does well. Ryan Murphy got like $250 million up front, and it shows no one really cared about. You know what I mean? Like, they just said, because there is no back anymore, we're just going to give you up front. But, you know, I get why people want the old way. They want to get money on the back end and the front end. It's totally understandable, but like I said, it seems like the industry has changed, and that model just doesn't really exist.
You know who
like
got hit the worst? There's one person that got hit the worst, all right? And it's a friend of mine, someone I know. It's a girl by the name of Leslie Grace. Leslie Grace was Batgirl. She was Batgirl. Mm-hmm. They did the whole movie with her. They did a whole TV show. Brendan Fraser was the villain. She was set to win. She was on In the Heights. Before that, she was in something else. Like, she's been an actress. She's an amazing singer. She was Batgirl, and they canceled it so that they could use it as a tax write-off. That's where we are in the industry right now. So she was Batgirl. Michael Keaton was in it. Brendan Fraser was the bad guy. Shout out to my friend Leslie. I am so sorry, and you deserve better than that. But that's some of the messed ups. They filmed for like years. She had to work out this whole thing. The producers talked yesterday. They saw The Flash, and they were like, we were supposed to be in The Flash. Now it looks like a mess. Like, the whole movie is kind of weird. So, man, shout out to the. And then also another thing is, like, you know that like The Marvels is coming out like in a couple weeks. Like, they're not making trailers for it right now. They're not making trailers for The Equalizer, you know, like the movie I saw a couple weeks ago. It's like how people make, like, I don't even know movies are coming out. It's kind of crazy. There's nothing being promoted. That's what's happening on the strike. And they want 1 or 2%. That's all they're asking for. 1%, 1 point something.
Yeah.
It's I'm about crazy. To start protesting with them outside in LA in front of Disney World. Seriously. There's a whole Disney studio and they're all protesting. And last time I was out there, I saw Liam Neeson, Jesse. He was out there. He's very tall and he always pees in his pants.
He was taking care of business.
About that? Do you know about how he always pees in his pants?
What?
What?
Did you hold this on? Is, do you guys know that? Google, if you guys on your own personal Google Liam Neeson pees in pants whenever he's in public,
I'm
he pees
Googling
on himself.
That.
I don't know why.
Right now.
It's a real thing.
That's going to mess up
it's
my algorithm.
Yeah, I know. It's my accountability blocker went through the roof. But if you Google that, it's a whole thing with Liam Neeson.
Does he have a medical?
I don't, people
okay,
don't
it
know.
Filled
people,
in.
The jury's
wrote,
still
I
out.
Liam Neeson, and I put the letter P, and it filled in pees his pants.
I'm trying to put
That's
you guys on to something
he have, like,
right
a bladder
now.
Condition?
Right now, I'm so sorry. I'm corrupting the viewers of Relevant Podcasts. This is the best podcast in the world. But you also have to know about this. It's a fact of pop culture.
There's a YouTube video.
I'm not watching
this is
a
crazy.
YouTube video.
But
Taylor
YouTube
Swift
video.
Talk about
here's
it. She's making fun of him. Does that make you want to watch it, Emily?
But here's my question: is it one? Was it just
no,
one?
No, it
bad
was
day?
Like 30
no,
pictures of him.
Watch
there's
a YouTube
30
video
pictures of him. 30.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video that's just cycling through them all right now. I'm
he might have
that.
A medical condition. We're not 100%. He gets drunk and he just
seems
goes
evident.
At it, and so that's like
a Star
thing
is
you,
Born.
Yeah,
he's just out walking around talking to people with
pictures of him like holding people, babies. Yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, so I want to see him over there in Disney Studios, and let's take a photo. And
can I be honest? That makes him even more fearsome because if there's one I don't want to fight Liam Neeson. I don't want to fight anybody. I'll tell you who I definitely don't want to fight. Someone with soiled
pants.
And
doesn't care about
me.
It.
Like, that
and
makes them care. Even more fierce.
He doesn't care. Look at these pictures. He's just walking around in broad daylight.
This is our clip that if we cut this really quick, we'd go viral really quick. Because I think people need to know about this. They don't know about this. It's a mess.
Can I be honest? I'm kind of more curious about the YouTuber who has been consistently posting videos in addition to this Liam Neeson pees his pants that are seemingly unconnected by anything. Like, he has a compilation from 7 years ago of Liam Neeson peeing his pants.
Yes.
But up until 7 months ago, he's been pretty consistently posting completely random videos on YouTube. We have Rally Drift
it's
compilation.
Weird. It's a weird one.
We have Donald Fegan killed by gorillas. Now this. Apparently a news story about someone who was killed by gorillas 3 years ago. That appears to be ripped from the Now This channel. We have Peter Griffin, Funny Trip, which is only 14 seconds long. Like, it doesn't seem like clickbaity enough that it's just someone regurgitating videos, because it seems like almost no effort was put into any of
it's
these
like
titles.
AI made it, almost.
They're most... Yeah, it is like AI made it. But again, he's been doing this for over a decade. The Liam Neeson pee his pants compilation is just one of many seemingly completely unconnected videos.
Yeah, and it's also behind the Gambler song. It's behind Kenny Rogers' The Gambler song, so that makes it even more random.
No, it's Pete Townsend's Let My Love Open the Door.
TV themes with legendary burrito, Married with Children. That was one of the videos
he's
that
got more views
off.
Than I did.
His caption
views.
His caption says, rest in peace.
You know, the
peas.
Worst part about this video, Cam, is that there's more photos that I've seen. Like, this is just, there's so much more. Like, these aren't even the ones that I've seen. Like, these are new.
Okay.
So what's the latest on the strike, Emily?
Hold on.
Yeah, speaking of the strike.
Bio, this YouTuber's bio on their site for About is simply the words, my dad died.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
It's very odd. Yeah, that's more. This is more interesting to me than Liam Neeson thing. Okay, sorry, Emily.
Yeah, bringing it back to the strike, we do have one update that things are somewhat moving forward. Not necessarily with the strike, but this week it was announced that a daytime talk show, specifically Drew Barrymore, she was kind of the first one to say it. She's going to be coming back with their show, and there's a lot of daytime television that's coming back, and obviously a lot of the strike is upset about it because. You know, like they're hoping to hold out to get money and stuff. But no, Drew said that they're moving forward.
It's not just Drew. It's like
there's
seven
shows.
But
a bunch, except for Kelly Clarkson. I do want to clarify that. My girl's holding strong. But it is interesting because Drew said that she was still going to be compliant and not talk about films or shows with actors that come on. So I just want to know, what is the talk show's going to talk about? Because if you're not going to talk about movies or shows, like, what's going on?
Well, and two, the crazy thing we were talking yesterday is like, okay, if one or two shows, like Live with Kelly never went off air. They don't use union writers. So they've been broadcasting this whole time. I think the Talk did too, or something like that. Maybe The View.
Yeah.
But now all these other talk shows are all coming back. They're all like debuting next week. And I'm sitting there going, what celebrities, they don't have anything to promote. So all those interview segments kind of evaporate. I mean, it's like seven shows filling an hour a day or 2 hours a day. So think about it. They have to do other stuff like segments, like cooking demonstrations, things that you need writers for.
Yeah,
so it's like, because I don't have the interviews, what do you do?
Here's my take.
Yeah.
Good. Like, make them more like podcasts, not like, all right, oh, here we got Tom Cruise on the show talking about Mission Impossible. Hey, listen, you're not going to believe what happened to him at the airport. Funny story with his luggage. Go ahead, Tom. Tell, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
these manufactured things that lead into, now let's see a clip. Maybe it's just them talking like normal people,
that'd
which is
great.
Actually, in my opinion, going to be way more interesting to listen to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get their thoughts on, you know, other things in the world other than just something that they're being paid to promote. I'm actually here for it. I actually think maybe it'll usher in an era of, because if you watch, I had like a late night rerun of like Jimmy Kimmel on last night. It was painful. Like the interviews are terrible. Even Fallon, when he's playing some dumb beer pong, giant hand slap game. I mean, it's funny every once in a while, but mostly it's just wackiness. Mm. Like let's have people sit down for like 8 to 10 minutes and just kind of talk, you know, like I'd be more inclined to watch that, I think.
All right. What's next?
Yeah, well, that's what's all going on in Hollywood. But let's talk about some common folk things that we can all relate to. Okay, really quick. If I asked you how many millennials, which are adults between the ages of 27 and 40, how many millennials are currently living at home with their parents? What percentage would you say?
I think 42 year olds. It's 1980s. Oh,
27
the end
to
42.
Of okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Even 43. Yeah. What's the question?
I'm gonna say in the 50s.
Whoa. You're saying half of millennials in their 30s, early 40s, are living at home.
I'm gonna say it's 42%.
I'm gonna say
54%. The only reason being
is
54. That's what I thought you were suggesting, Cameron. It was just a very specific guess, and in my head, 42% sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Well, you guys have ruined 54%. Her bit because
it's not that high. It is high, though. So we think it's high. 28% of millennials live in their childhood home.
I just can't believe that. Like 38-year-old grown-ups, a quarter of them, one out of four, are living with their parents. That's crazy.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of reasons. Most of it comes down to money. Some said that they were living with their parents to save up for their own house. Some are paying off student debt. Some are searching for jobs. Some of it's just like convenience. They have a lot of kids and their parents are helping them out. But what's interesting is 85% of people surveyed said that there's like nothing wrong with living with your parents, but still 30% were embarrassed about it. I feel sad for them.
There's no need to be embarrassed.
I wouldn't be embarrassed. I mean, that's amazing. You don't have to pay bills.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, look at like Europe and the Mediterranean. They have like six generations in one house. They just never move. That's the family house.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you grew up. That's where your kids are going to grow up. That's just how it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, when I was moving houses one time, between houses, I had to move in with my parents for a couple months. I'm not going to lie. It was awesome. I didn't worry about anything. Like, you know, And I wasn't going to break their rules. I wanted to go to bed early. I had work the next day. It wasn't like when I was a kid. It was great.
I love meatloaf.
There was a pantry full of snacks. My mom was making dinner. I had full-time babysitters, whatever I want for my kids.
That's incredible.
My dad was always written cool movies and stuff. Like, it was great. I get it. There's no shame, man. If you live at home,
dude,
man.
There is no shame. I want people to know that. Listen. Being at your parents' house, it's not easy to do, so I don't want to make a joke of it because some people, like, you know, it's a sensitive subject. I get it. But, dude, just embrace it. Who cares? I mean, like, embrace it. I mean, I get it. Everything is so expensive right now. Everything is crazy. Everything in life that's life. It's hard. But you know what? A lot of people in California, they live with their family, and then they get the leg up, and then they buy it. So, like, in the neighborhoods here, families will move in. So you have like two families living together. Eventually one will work, then buy the next house. And so like whole neighborhoods in California are owned by families that literally will like sponsor family and give them the next house. And so, yeah, that's a big thing out here, especially in the Asian community. Mm-hmm. I would sneak things
on the grocery list just to see, just to push it. Hey, Mom, are you going to the grocery store? I was thinking maybe Cocoa Puffs, yeah. You know, and like, it was just like stuff. I'm not going to go buy that on my own, but if my
parents are paying
if
for
I'm
it.
Under their roof, I might as well shoot my shot here.
Yeah. I will say, so I was in Dallas a few weeks ago and I was telling a friend, like, I was excited to go home, see my family. I did say out loud, I'm also excited because I don't have to buy groceries for the week and my mom's gonna buy really good groceries, and she did. Mm-hmm. And even I didn't even tell her, she bought me my favorite snack when she went, like, after she, because I surprised them, so like once she knew I was there, she went out and got my favorite snacks, and I was like, why don't I come home more often? Like, this is actually really enjoyable. You're right, it is different. Yeah. As an adult,
cook your favorite foods. Yeah. Yeah. Cook your favorite foods, you know, like, that's awesome.
Yeah. There's not a lot of downside. Yeah. It is just
no electricity. You have to pay for electricity.
I think it's just interesting because I try to think about, like, how many people do I know that are living with their family, and like saying 1 in 4 millennials, that seems high, but you're like, I mean, yeah, doesn't seem to be a downside. So what we're saying is, don't pursue anything. Go move back in with your parents. Life's better.
Don't pursue anything.
I don't know.
Just live your life.
But because the other side of the coin, sorry, and I'll stop ranting. But the other side of the coin is like that. There was a woman this week who, I think she was 29 years old, and she was posting about her Saturday afternoon. Yes. As like a single 20 something that didn't have kids, and she was just having kind of a breezy afternoon. She went out to Taylor Swift the night before. She was going to hang out, Beyonce, and make food. Yes. And Beyonce concert. She was going to make, you know, some sort of sushi rolls and watch and run back some Netflix, and all these people were giving her such a hard time. And in my mind, and it just brought it up when Marty, you kind of said offhandedly, like, hang out and, you know, do nothing. And all these, it was particularly like, you know, kind of angry, kind of conservative leading people, like, this is what's wrong with young people today. They aren't out starting fans. And I'm like, if only there was one other example of someone who at 29 years old hadn't really started their gig yet, didn't have his own place, and had no kids and really no romantic prospects, and mostly spent time just hanging out with 12 of his buds. I wish there was just an example of one person like
him. Come on, Jesse.
Where we could point to show that, maybe this isn't so bad. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, talking about Elon Musk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesse, that's the most like youth pastor you've ever sounded, but I love it.
But it was true. It was true. Like, everyone's like, giving this young woman such a hard time, when I'm like, Jesus didn't even start his ministry till 30. He didn't even start it.
Yeah.
Like, it was so unnotable that the writers of the Bible, who wrote genealogies for chapters at a time, didn't even make one note about what he was doing in his 20s, because it probably wasn't all that exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He was just...
Sorry, rant over.
No, that's the right rant we need to
be having.
Have
grace on yourself, 20-something.
Yeah.
Give yourself some grace, man.
Exactly.
All right, what's the last thing, Emily?
Last thing we want to end it on is Sufjan Stevens. He has a new album coming out in October, and so he's been dropping a few songs, and he just put out a new song this week called Will Anybody Ever Love Me? We have a sip of it right now.
Watch me now, anoint me with that
trippy song. It's a little slower.
It's like
a little
you
trippier.
The worst part of the song too.
And that was the chorus.
That was the chorus. Oh, dude, man, he always throws me off with that.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just imagine now we're in Times Square. Okay, it's Friday afternoon. It is popping out there. We got Busta Rhymes in the studio. We got like Doja Cat. We got, you know, Taylor
Mariah
Swift.
Carey.
And then you got Sufjan Stevens coming in doing his weepy thing. Everyone's watching. Mm-hmm. Everyone's watching. Bring it back, MTV.
That's how Incubus did it back in the day.
All right, that'll do it for
Relevant Buzz.
Make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Thanks, Emily. All right, stay tuned. Up next, Corey Asbury joins us. Listening to Bakar, the song is I'm Done.
I love Bakar.
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Corey Asbury. You know him as the guy behind one of the biggest worship songs in the last decade, Reckless Love. But today he is releasing his brand new album, Pioneer. It is a major shift for him. It's not worship music. It is a pivot toward country, Americana. I don't know, country, very country. Yeah, it's country. Well, we sat down with Corey to find out why he's ventured in this new direction, and also at the end, how he uses TikTok to show a different side of himself. Here's our conversation with Corey Asbury.
You're broken. Anyone who says they're not is lying. Maybe we all got to go. I'm sorry you were so misunderstood.
Well, after a few years away, you're coming back as a country artist. What made you want to shift to country music?
Yeah, I think I love organic instruments. You know, I love guitars. I love all stringed instruments. I think they're beautiful. Like, there's something so special about actually playing the instruments. And I think so much of our music is processed. It's synthesizers, it's keyboards, it's all these digital sort of sounds and samples. And when I go to a show, like, I want to hear people play instruments. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear a bunch of tracks. I don't want to hear the keyboard pressing a button and book-a-book-a-book-a. Like, that's me personally. That's my own. It's my own preference. And I grew up listening to that kind of music. And, you know, and even in North Carolina, there's a very sort of country vibe and influence where it's like bluegrass is big. And I remember I found a Nickel Creek CD. I don't know if you know who they are, but they're like I really like their music. It's like very kind of bluegrassy, fiddles and you know, mandolins and all that kind of stuff. And I found one of their CDs in a Dairy Queen parking lot when I was like 12 years old. And I was like, I don't know what this is. I'll pop it in the CD player. You know, back then we had CD players. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. And I think I fell in love with that sound, but it felt like in Christian music, when I first started making music, you sort of had to do a very specific sound and style. A lot of pads, a lot of soundscapes, a lot of, like, you know, you go to church, you hear that ooh sound. Dude, I'm so tired of that sound. Like, I am so over that flipping sound. I never want to hear a pad again, ever, in my whole life. If I never heard a pad again, I would be so happy. I love real music. And you're right. Like, living in Nashville, you have access to so many incredible musicians. And, like, there's these instruments that just bring such emotion. And, like, I'm thinking of lap steel, like that. Like, it's this sound where you're like, oh, it sounds like someone crying, or like there's such evocative sort of emotional something unquantifiable to it. And I came back to it and I was like, man, I love this kind of music. Like, I wonder if we produce this record more along those lines. Like, and everyone's saying, like, you know, on social media, country Corey and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's not fully in that lane. And even if it was, I wouldn't mind. But I think the beauty of that kind of music, and I pretty much only listen to country music and have for a lot of years. So that definitely influences things. But being in Nashville didn't help that penchant for sure. I think if anything, it made me want to go after it more, but it was just like, it felt like it fit the music because, or the songs rather, because the songs are very story driven. They're very narrative driven. And, you know, I think the tradition of country music is that, like, it's narrative driven. You're telling a story, you're bringing the listener in, and hopefully you're giving them a lesson through this story, whether it's you're talking about someone else or yourself. Like, there's something cool to that. And I think the music just came around it in a really beautiful way. And I'm very happy with how it is. And I'm very happy that it kind of has a bit of a country lean to it. In return, all he's ever been is kind. All he's ever been.
I know I wasn't there, but when I look up at yeah, I have seen people call you Country Corey, which I think is funny. But I do think that when people think of country, I know country enough to know that there's kind of, even within country, there's almost different sounds and genres. Like you mentioned bluegrass. Yeah. But you could also have, there's more like a singer-songwriter, there's more pop, like different sounds. Mm-hmm. What would, if you had to define like the sound on the album, how would you describe like the country influence?
That's so tough. Like it's very singer-songwriter with a country Americana lean is what I would say. And that's tough because then you feel like you're stuck in a certain thing. And like, yeah, it's not so much like straight down the middle country as it would be like, it's definitely more singer-songwriter-y-ish, if you will. But yeah, with some country leaning elements, with some pedal steel, with some of that kind of stuff incorporated. And yeah, to me, country is just like, it's the tradition of songwriting. And I think what's happened lately is like, you've got your like bro country where it's like, let's just talk about trucks and beer and like throw a couple of little fiddles in there or something. And, oh, it's country now. I'm like, that ain't country music. Like, y'all know, like that ain't country music. And I might get hated on for that, but whatever, it doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying. Like, there's country, and then there's, like, kind of broed out beer truck country music that I'm like, dude, that's not it.
And every single road I take leads right back to this place. Only Jesus for my pain. And every time I try to run, His kindness called my name. You'd think that I'd have learned by now. Only Jesus for my pain. Only Jesus knows the questions, the things I'm scared to say. Only Jesus holds the answers to the troubles I can't face. And every single road I take leads right back to this place. Only Jesus for my pain.
I do very briefly want to go back to something we mentioned, which was social media, because I gotta say, I love your TikToks. I think they're very funny. And it seems like you're having a lot of fun with them. What do you like about social media, like in making those videos?
Yeah, I think they're all different animals. You know, Instagram is different from Facebook, is different from TikTok, you know, and I think you have to know the demographic for each. Like if I posted the stuff on Facebook that I posted on TikTok, people would be like, what is this? And they would unfollow, you know, and I'm great with that, whatever. I think there's something to the rawness of TikTok that appeals to me. And I think that appeals to a lot of young people. Cause like we talked about earlier, no one wants the the beat, you know, or the, I can't say BS, can I? No one wants the, like, the fake veneer, you know, like, everyone wants it real. Like, say how it is, say it honest. And that's the beauty of TikTok, is like, it doesn't have to look cool. It doesn't have to feel cool. It doesn't have to be all Instagrammified with your pretty whites and you're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just is what it is. And there's something raw to that. And I think that fits sort of my personality, really. Like, I'm just going to say it to you how it is. And if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. But I'm just going to say how it is. And they just, they fall in line for me. Like, they just, it just makes sense. And I think people just want real right now. They don't want you to fake something. They don't want you to fabricate something. And I think that's the beauty of it. That's especially TikTok, is just like, say it how it is, man. And use humor, which I think comedy is created to be a social commentary, honestly. Like, you think of like the court jesters back in the day, like, it was literally their job to poke fun at stuff and then to bring social change because of it. You know what I mean? Like, that was their job. Like, that's what they were created to do. And the king would go, okay, you're right. You're poking fun at the poor for this, and you're poking fun at the rich for this. I might make a few changes here. And they were allowed to say it as plainly as they wanted, using humor. And for some reason, you know, that's just the way it was. And I don't know, it's fun. Like, there's something to that, creating a social commentary and kind of being able to say this and that about different things, and have people receive it, because I'm not railing against something. You know, I'm not screaming and yelling. I'm not cussing. I'm not freaking out. I'm just kind of going, this is sort of funny the way this is, huh? You know? And people are like, yeah, it kind of is. Like, I never thought about that, you know? I don't know. It's, I enjoy it. I'm singing it all different now. I pray they understand somehow that the promise is the same. Yeah, the promise is the same. Yeah, the promise is the same.
That was Corey Asbury. Make sure to check out his new album, Pioneer. It's out today. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. You're listening to Turnstile, Bad Bad Not Good, and Blood Orange. The song is Alien Love Call. Alien Love Call.
That's not a real song.
All right,
song.
It's time. It is a real song. It just played.
Alien Love Call.
Yeah.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, and dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
All right. It's time for your feedback. Last week, what did we, what we got talking about?
Weird, oh, we were talking about the latest update on Passion of the Christ. Electric Boogaloo. Okay, what are so we calling good. It these days?
This is such a great episode.
Passion of the Christ 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. And we got talking about, like, okay, we keep hearing the same Bible stories, you know, on the movies. So there's a lot of other content in the Bible. What? And so we asked you, what Bible stories do you think should be made into a movie? You hit us up on Twitter/X and on Threads at Relevant Podcast. Here's a few of our favorites.
DJ Zim35, which I'm interested to hear his tunes here. He said, Samson.
Maybe his name is just DJ, though. Maybe it's not like.
No, he's a DJ.
I hope he's DJ's. Yeah, I hope he's not just a DJ. He's DJ Zim 35. Samson, he said he's written a 110 page script for it. There's been a couple of them, you know, but the most recent was pretty poor. Listen, it would be a dope action scene because doesn't he kill like a few hundred guys with a donkey's jaw mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah,
like,
he does.
Yeah.
Donkey's jaw.
Like that would be like a Zack Snyder. I could see his remake of that, 300 style. You know,
I could say this with 100% certainty. The people who responded to this question have no idea about the music industry, about the movie industry. These choices are rough. Who said the Ethiopian eunuch?
Alex Garza.
What story is that?
It's the first conversion, right? Isn't it like the first conversion post Christ returning? I think something like that.
We want to know about David and Goliath.
Okay,
The Rock
real quick,
as Goliath.
I do want to go back to DJ Zim, though, because you can't just say you've written a feature-length 110-page script and not send a link.
Yeah.
Because, now I need to read the script to see is it really...
DM
Agent Michael Scarn.
No. Michael Scarn. I immediately went to Michael Scarn.
Who would you cast?
You're such
obviously,
idiot.
DJ Zim's casting himself.
Dwayne.
He casted himself as Samson.
I'm here for it. Otherwise, I feel like it's going to be like a Jason Momoa, and he's just everywhere. But I feel like Jason Momoa is probably our culture, Samson.
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you think would be the worst story? Like, what's the worst movie they could really make as a Christian that they haven't already? But what's the worst thing?
Like the worst Bible story?
There's probably so many stories. Yeah, there's pretty tough Bible stories where people really suffered. I think that's the question.
That's the one
we got to make.
I would say like one of like the less glamorous miracles, like the fishing ones. You know?
Yeah, like only experience he had.
Yeah, like, he had a great day.
I don't know
that
Jesus. I know about the fishing.
I'm surprised one of the old prophets, like, which I always get them mixed up. But the one that sent the bear to attack the kids, which one is that? Is that Elijah or Elisha?
Elijah.
Yeah, okay.
Elijah,
right?
Yeah, because he got made fun of for being bald.
That's a great one.
We already had Cocaine Bear.
That's a short film.
Cocaine Bear, just make it Christian. That's kind of what we're doing.
A prequel
to Cocaine Bear.
It's an MTV short. It's an MTV short, though. It's kind of a...
like it.
Yeah. Douglas King said Esther. I thought there was a couple Esther movies.
There is.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It's supposed
to be
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Well, all I'm thinking about is the VeggieTales Esther one. Isn't there a VeggieTales Esther?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is.
I want to see
My mom texted me last night, true story. She was like, have you seen Chosen yet? What is Chosen?
The Chosen.
It's a television series about Jesus and like the life of the disciples, but it's
where do you watch it?
You can watch it.
It's everywhere.
They have an app. They have Amazon Prime. I think you watch it on Peacock.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Peacock. It's airing right now every Sunday night on the CW on broadcast.
Yeah.
Are we for real?
Yeah.
On CW after Riverdale.
Riverdale's over.
No. It replaced Riverdale and it tripled its ratings.
No way, man. Christians, let me tell you something. Christians will show out every single time. Shout out to the Christians.
Yeah, The Chosen has been a huge success.
Yeah.
Huge.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay, so it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
So we were talking about the writer's strike. You know, Hollywood needs some new juice. And we were talking about TRL. And it got us thinking, what other shows, we've asked this in the past, but what shows from our childhood, what shows from the past do you think should be brought back, rebooted, updated? You know, like 106 and Park, it's coming back. So what shows do you miss that you'd love to see Hollywood take another stab at? Now the question I have is, Jesse, is it we want to see a dark remake like they did with Fresh Prince on Peacock, mm-hmm. you know, when it was like, or are you saying, I just want to bring back ALF? Because ALF is coming back, actually. Ryan Reynolds is behind it.
I know. But here's the thing. They should have made ALF dark and scary and not because the reason people watch, I think the maker, and I haven't watched the Fresh Prince reboot. I know it's a pretty good story of the person who made a trailer, but it's like the reason people watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is because they had the most charming, funny personality on TV lead the show. Like no one was watching for the plot about Carlton getting bullied in the basketball locker room and Will and Jazzy Jeff coming to have, show he's actually cool or what. No one's watching for that, right? They're watching because Will Smith was hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was the reason. So I kind of feel like they lost the plot. However, Alf, if you think about this, a family is harboring, like, an alien that eats pets and that they are afraid of exposing because the family could be in danger. Listen, we're a peak alien right now. They are really missing an opportunity to do something creepy with Alf. It doesn't need to be a comedy. It's no laughing matter anymore, okay? People are really, you know, all spun up about alien stuff. It's not a joke. Lean into the scary Alf. I'd watch it. That's way more interesting to me than a funny alien puppet Alf. We've been there.
See, when I think about shows I want rebooted, I do think about, like, the dumb reality shows of the 2000s.
Yeah.
That I think, like,
that's my head went to.
I want to see Next. Do y'all remember like Next on MTV?
Oh my gosh, Next. You just, Emily, oh, yeah. You just took my answer. I was thinking
get
the
off the
thing.
Bus.
Yeah, they get off the bus and immediately, Next.
That was a good one.
Vicious. Or Next. Parental Control. That one was insane.
Yeah.
Like,
I love to see people's lives in jeopardy on True Life. Mm-hmm. You know, like, True Life, like, you know, I'm in debt because I bought Bitcoin. Like, that's the type of stories that I want to start seeing, like, stories now of just turmoil. Why are you at your parents' house again? Oh, you bought 100,000 of Bitcoin. That's what we
Or just,
know.
Like, a where are they now? Because I need to know where all the contestants on Next are now. I need to know where the people who are on True Life, what are they doing now? That's what I need.
Cribs, do they still own the crib? Who owns that crib now?
Great call with Next and Parental Control. Two, like, Hallmark cringe dating shows. But then I would also say, like, we've become far too ethical as like... Remember, like, Joe Millionaire, where it was a dating show, the whole contract
I mean,
was,
I love that.
Hey,
okay, but there's shows
or like Joe or
Dating
something?
Prince Harry or whatever, where it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, bring back the unethical dating shows. No one's making you watch them, you know? Like, Netflix has cornered the market, but it's too nice. It's
well,
too,
I don't know. There's some, like, there's the show The Ultimatum, where they literally come on and are like, if you don't marry me, I'm leaving you. Like, that's kind of like, ooh, okay, let's maybe have some couples therapy. The one, though, what's the one where it's like, they have the masks on, or like they're dressed as like furries or something like that. Like,
Oh yeah, that was a good show.
The animal one.
Yeah, like so it's like that, and people were like trashing it, being like, "That's so weird." And I'm like, "No, that's what I want." Like, I want like insane people who are like, "I'm willing to do anything for love, even embarrass the crap out of myself." That's what I want. So I think we need to bring that back.
I love that episode of that show where they mask and they're dating and the guy's just happy to not get chosen because he saw her outside the mask. And in that episode, he sees her and he's like, thank God she didn't choose me. Like, he's like jumping with joy and she's like, why are you happy? He's like, I just don't think that we're going to work out together. Like, he's just, that's the type of level of cringe I need to see.
Yeah.
All right. Hit us up on Twitter/X at Relevant Podcast and tell us your show recommendations that you want to see come back. We'll read our favorites on next week's show. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Corey Asbury for joining us today. Make sure to check out his new album, Pioneer, came out today. Also, follow him on TikTok. It's a good follow. It's a lot of fun. A couple updates. Make sure to go check out our summer issue of Relevant. I know summer's wrapping up, so is the issue. We got a great cover story with Lauren Daigle. We have Christine Kane, Judah and Chelsea Smith, Andy Grammer, Drew Holcomb, Naomi Rain, so much more. It's all available for free. Just click on the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. Also, while you're there, make sure to check out Relevant Plus. It is our ad-free premium subscription where you get to experience ad-free versions of this podcast, an exclusive subscriber podcast, ad-free unlimited reading at the website, and an enhanced, beautiful digital edition of the magazine. All the plans start as low as $2.50 a month, and it's the best way to experience our content. Go check it out. We are also hiring. If you want to check out our latest openings, check out relevantmediagroup.com. That's our corporate site. And if you like the music you hear on this podcast, make sure to check out our Heard on the Relevant Podcast playlist over on Spotify. We've got a couple other playlists there as well that you should check out. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Marty.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Let's have people sit down for like 8 to 10 minutes and just kind of talk.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.